goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
It was another trip to Celtic Park, but it was the same old story as the Bairns once again went down to Celtic. This time, a bit less of a margin, 2-0. We are here to talk about it. This is Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk Football Club podcast, and I am John McInally, and this is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. Yep, not long back. Unlucky. I think that's the closest we've came to taking something against Celtic at Parkhead for a wee while.
Yeah, you were obviously at the game, Ross. I was not at the game. We just had a big lengthy debate off air about unions and such like off air. We won't go into the depths. It got a bit feisty there, Ross. You know, I thought we might not have ended up recording a podcast this evening.
But all good.
There we go. We're all good. Different views. But yeah, you were at the game. Absolutely. A bunch of Bairns supporters made it along. Obviously, a lot of people standing with the ultras on it as well, just in terms of the ticket pricing and stuff as well. So it was, you know, it didn't look like many Celtic supporters turned up. Or maybe they were sitting with the ultras on this one and all.
Yeah, do you know, it was the Parkhead was quiet. The quietest I've, and I don't mean from an away support perspective, I mean as in like the stadium was just so quiet, it was like a library. Falkirk crowd was down, but we knew that would be. I think the 500, just under 500 was the talk. So what's that, about 250 empty seats, but it was quiet. That is the quietest I've heard Parkhead ever. So they only sprung into action really when they scored. There are a couple of renditions of obviously about Martin O'Neill, and then it was straight on to sack the board, etc. Yeah. So weird atmosphere.
It was a weird, it was a bit of a weird game as well, actually. I don't know if the atmosphere has kind of contributed to that as well. We'll talk about the game just in a minute, but yeah, I thought it was it. Aside from the football, anything exciting this weekend that you've done?
No, not quite. I had to do a bit of work, and I've got a busy work week coming up as well. But otherwise, nah, what about you?
I went to the pub on Saturday, doing a Saturday, so bumped in a couple of well-kent faces in the Station Hotel in Larbert who obviously didn't have anything else to do on Saturday as well. So a few people listened to the podcast. Shout out to Phil, he was on his way to Edinburgh. Sat had a couple of pints in the station. I did, however, went to my first gym class ever on Friday, Ross, and I'm still suffering from it. My arms are killing me.
What were you doing?
Well, I went to Body Pump, Ross, and I don't know if you're familiar with the works of Body Pump. Basically, right. It's like weights, right? And stupidly, I'm like that. So first of all, I was like testing the water, saying, is this a class for girls? And I was assured it wasn't. It was fine. A couple of guys in there as well in this class. So you basically do like, you pick up like kind of lesser weights, and you've got like a barbell, and you're doing, you know, squats and deadlifts and what have you, but with kind of small weights. Stupidly though, being obviously a stupid man, I decided to put a bit more weight than I should have put onto it. And honestly, at one point, I'd put too much weight on it. And I was just like, I just whispered, fuck this. Like, the woman at the front's like, you know, barking the orders out. And she's like, remember, you can take on less weight if you want, but I'm obviously not. And then this boy turns, who was in front of me, said, do you want these, mate? I went, aye, thanks, mate. You can hand over less weights to me. I was like, thanks very much, mate. That's appreciated.
You're still sore today.
Really sore. The arms. This was on Friday morning. And by the way, 6:30, how impressive is that? So, and I'm struggling, and my arms are killing me. So if you are going to a Body Pump class, don't do what I do. Just, you know, put less weight on that. But I've learnt my lesson, so I'm going to go back and try and prove to myself that I can do it, because without showing, fucking hell, and my arms are killing me. So that was effectively my weekend. And we had a wee cheeky Gulnar there just now. Went out for
a nice night.
So we went to the Gully for a read. And I know, of course, by the way, you know, let's talk about Steny tickets, because the Gulnar are doing hospitality, which I think is hilarious. Like, the you get hospitality at the Gulnar, you get hospitality from the station, and you get hospitality from the cricket club as well. So if you've not got a ticket, because let's face it, oh God, the amount of mourning I've seen on Facebook. We've been lucky, Ross, that we've managed to get on. We got on at 3 o'clock and managed to get tickets for ourselves. Actually, at some point, I should whisper it, we actually had two spare, because I got two, but I hadn't realised that you'd got on and you'd got two for me as well. So we end up, look, there's a few of our mates hadn't been able to get tickets, so we passed them on. But it was a bit of a fiasco, and I can tell why people are angry. You know, it's like, obviously, Friday morning, it kind of got, it said, right, tickets are going to go on sale at 3 o'clock that day. Now, you know, when you went on to the fans, it wasn't limited to just one per season ticket holder. You could get as many as you want. Obviously, from the club's perspective, this is also Stennis Muir that's, you know, and they use fan zone. So you couldn't do a ballot for a start, because it's all come through. So it was a case of, it's like going to a gig, I guess. It's like, you know, you go on, you get your tickets, and
I think the notice period wasn't great. Like,
I think they should have maybe said, like, tickets go, because they were going to, undoubtedly, with 2,000 odd tickets available and 7,000 odd season ticket holders,
there was never going to be enough.
No,
but the two clubs, and I'll say the two clubs, because I'd imagine they would have had to agree the time scale between them, right? They needed to give people a lot more notice. Now, what would have been the problem, right? So 3 o'clock, so 10 o'clock, they put the announcement out. 3 o'clock, they go on sale. What's wrong with giving people just 24 hours notice? Why 10 o'clock Friday to say, listen, at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, we're putting them on sale. Give people a fighting chance. There was people who were already at work who didn't get even look at social media. They didn't check their emails. And then 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, they go, I could have tried to have got a ticket, but I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying that, and this actually applied to me as well, that they weren't getting emails from the club for ballots and stuff like that. I've never had an email about the ballot. There was a few people, so I think that's something that probably the club will look at as well. I know there was quite a few people caught out like that hadn't had the email to go out to them as well. So it's definitely one that the club, I'm sure, will be looking at. I saw Jamie responding to a couple of supporters on it, but yeah, I tend to agree. I don't know why there was a kind of rush on to put them on sale, because they were going to sell out. I mean, it undoubtedly sell out, so what's the harm in leaving it for 24 hours? If anyone at the club hears this and wants to let us know the reason, and that would be great, because you know, there was a lot of upset people out there who couldn't get tickets. So.
There was. Obviously, that's good that there's some hospitality options. I don't know what the price point is.
I would suspect they'll have been sold out by now as well. I know the price point, looking down at it, but I because obviously you're getting your match ticket, that I would 100% guarantee that all those
I know that the actual stadium hospitality sold out the day of the draw, like that night. That was already sold out. So I'm not surprised Stennis Muir's obviously approached a few of the local establishments to do a tie-in. I suppose the only thing is, if you're in there, your ticket will be in the home end, which is, I suppose, that's what it is. The home stand may well have a good number of Falkirk fans in there as well, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, the Gulnar are doing one. I can always highly recommend the Gulnar. We've always had the Gulnar versus San Am debate on here, but you get the buffet meal, transport to the match ticket, programme, drink on arrival, and a pay bar. That's £95 per person. Station Hotel, who the Gulnar actually own the Station Hotel now, doing a very similar offering as well. That's £95 per person. And then the Cricket Club as well are doing a cold buffet match ticket programme. Three drink tokens as well you get with that, and it's a pay bar, £75 per person. Now they're doing that on the upstairs bit, so if you have got a ticket for the match, if you're aware of the Cricket Club in the back cave, that is open to Falkirk supporters. So if you fancy a couple of beers at the Cricket Club, John McNeil, the social convener there, got in touch with the podcast and said that the back cave will be open to Falkirk supporters if you fancy going on at the Cricket Club, which I believe
do you need to go in the back way or something. Do you need to go in the back?
Yeah, I think there's a fire exit at the back, so I think they're going to open the fire exit at the back. So the upstairs of the Cricket Club will be for the hospitality people, and then in the back cave for the ruffians like ourselves, Ross. So we're going to pop in, I believe, on the because we're having Falkirk Daft hospitality at Casa Macanali. So we've got to charge around here, get the perfect draft on the go. I should start. Maybe I should charge tickets for that. We should do that maybe.
No, the freebie sounded far better.
Aye, so stay the station. I could put. I couldn't get match tickets right enough, but yeah. So we'll be up here before the match. But yeah. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of learns from the club. And I mean, like I say, it's on Steny's kind of. We're on Steny's terms anyway.
We're on Steny's terms, but I think you wonder why they had to feel they needed to rush out on Friday afternoon versus Saturday morning. But
Yeah.
it is what it is. As you said, we're lucky enough, we're one of the lucky ones to get tickets. I did have to laugh at some of the comments I saw online though, saying that oh, the club have went through people's emails to filter who was getting the emails and who weren't. Listen, I know the ticket girls, right?
I'm worried now because I must be on the banned list because I
Well,
didn't get
listen,
you.
they do not have the time to go through and go, oh, he's not getting a link, he's not getting that. That's mental. But I think, as you said, not everyone was ever going to get a ticket. They were always going to go quick. 15 minutes, I think they sold out, and so. But the saving grace is there is options there for hospitality, and then very worst case scenario is at least it's live on the BBC.
It's on the council telly, so at least everyone will get to see it as well. So that's inspired us basically then to give you plenty of notice to tell you that Falkirk Daft Live, episode number 7 of it, is coming to Behind the Wall, our end of season party. Get the dates in the diary now, May 15th, Friday night, ahead of the top six and bottom six matches. It's the top six, so hopefully on the Friday, it's the eve of our final game. So get that in the diary, May the 15th, Behind the Wall, Falkirk Daft Live, 7 now, God.
I bet seven, I thought it was six. I was
Are we
sitting
up
there
to seven? I
waiting.
think we're up to 7 now, aren't we?
Jesus,
I
there
think
you
we're
go.
up to 7.
There you go.
Guest TBC, me and Ross will be there. We'll be looking back at the season. We'll be doing our end of season awards as well, as voted for by you. And then, yeah, we should be a good laugh as ever on the eve of hopefully our last game, which will be a top six game, fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, the live events that we've done, the feedback we've had is that they just sort of get better and better. We better guess every time. So, and the last one was phenomenal at was it end of November? And so a bit of a gap between this that last one and this one. So that's but as you said, what a huge weekend it will be, whether it's top six or bottom six, we're yet to find out. And we'll see what comes, but it could be another massive weekend for the football club.
Yeah, absolutely. So get in, Daddy, May 15th, Behind the Wall for Falkirk Daft Live 7, the end of season party. Now, we've complained for the last couple of weeks on the podcast about a lack of song for Leon McCann because we felt, he's the longest serving. Is Nesbitt or him the longest serving club player at the club now? I can't remember who signed first, Nesbitt or Leon, but because they.
Oh, good question. I don't know. That they were certainly obviously the same summer, but
Yeah, there we go. But anyway.
Leon, maybe was he not a pre-contract or something like
I
that?
think he maybe was, yeah. So there you go. But we've said there's no song for Leon. We all love Leon. So we've had a few people have got in touch. It's not F Factor season, but a few people have got in touch and sort of given us some songs for Leon. So we'll start off with Ross Balfour, who goes, "This is to ABBA. Gimme, gimme, gimme. It's gimme, gimme, gimme. McCann under floodlights. Won't somebody help him chase the wingers away? Gimme, gimme, gimme. McCann under floodlights. Take him down the wing for the rest of the game." Thanks, Ross. There we go. Beautifully sang by myself there. Colin said to the tune of Robin Hood. So that was
Do you want me to take this
Robin.
one?
Right,
I'll take
you
this one.
go with your dulcet tones on this one
All
if you
right,
can get
okay. So
this.
yeah, this is to the tune of Robin Hood. Oh, I need to get the song in my head
Robin
now.
Hood, Robin Hood.
Right, so Leon McCann running down the wing. Leon McCann with his big dick swinging. Hated by Airdrie, loved by the Bairns.
Leon McCann, Leon
Leon
McCann. All right, okay.
McCann.
Yeah,
Not bad.
decent, decent. Kenny Monroe says we can just rip off the old Alfie tune. We all dream of a team of Leon McCanns. We all, it works. It just works. We all dream of a team of Leon McCann. It's quite hard though. It doesn't
That's a
scan well.
tough one.
Davey Broon from Up Mattoon, the tune of Valari. He's went old school with this. Dean Martin Valari. Can you do this one? I'm trying to think.
Is this the one that's
Oh,
oh
Larry.
Leon
Oh.
McCann? Oh, Leon,
Leon,
Leon
Leon
McCann,
McCann.
he's solid as a rock. He's got a massive cock. That's
Oh,
that one. I
Leon,
like that
Leon
one. That's
McCann.
clever.
Yeah, that's not bad as well. That's not bad. We should put these all to Leon and see what he makes of them. And finally, from Fraser, he says, right, okay, this goes to Rio by Duran Duran. You're familiar with that song, presumably, Ross.
Yes. Yep.
Right,
Yep.
okay, his name is Leon and he dances by the stand. Got such big balls that he needs to use two hands. Don't think he can't, or he'll show you he me can. Oh, Leon, Leon, like a chunky wee tour man. Very good, Fraser. Like that. Like that.
That
These
is
can all
good.
go to the ultras for a final decision on the song for Leon McCann.
If we see Leon at the Ladies' Day, we should get the women in the lounge to vote which one in
That
front of Leon.
would mean us having to sing them though, Ross. So
Yeah, that's true.
we'll see how that goes. But yeah, brilliant. Let's get a nailed on song for Leon McCann Ultras. I'm sure you're thinking of one as we speak. Before we get into talking about the Celtic game, let's say thanks very much to Ryan, who was on the podcast last week, and for his continued support of the podcast and for Falkirk Daft Live as well. He is the proud owner of Rumour Architecture. That's RMAR Architecture, who've been on the go for 5 years now. They're one of only three chartered architects practices within the town, and we think that Ryan might be the only Falkirk supporting architect within the town. He didn't really confirm that, but we reckon he is. And
That's what feels like.
what Ryan's going to do, he's going to give me 10% off if you quote Falkirk Daft for him. So if you're looking to do a job, looking to put an extension on your house, thinking about that stuff, so need an architect, Ryan is your man. Keep it in the Falkirk family and get 10% off your architect fees. All you've got to do is just quote Falkirk Daft, this podcast, and you'll get Ryan. Speak to him at rmar.co.uk. That's rmar.co.uk. He will speak to anyone, any inquiry. If you're thinking about needing an architect, you're getting some work done, he is your main man. So get in touch with Ryan, rmar.co.uk. And thanks once again for sponsoring the episode, Ryan. Let's get into birthday corner then, Ross. And whose birthday is it from the Bairns support this week?
Yeah, so a massive happy birthday to Colin Barr. So, for those who are not familiar, Colin is the host of the official Falkirk Football Club podcast, and his birthday is on Monday. So, if you're probably listening to this on Monday, it is today. And just a massive thank you to Colin again because he stood in for us last weekend at the 1876 Lounge when we were in hospitality properly against Hibs. Colin was at the game today as well. So, shout out. Cool.
There you go, and happy birthday, Henry Dowdy. Well kept face, that's from all the usual suspects as well. So, happy birthday, Henry. Players this week, on the 2nd, which is Monday when this goes out. Mark Beck, remember Mark Beck? He
Yeah,
was
he was all
decent.
right, wasn't he?
I
He
thought
was
he
all
was all
right.
right. He scored, came in, scored a few goals on a terrible team. But there's a lot of these players that were in a terrible team. Fraser Aird, remember him? Jeez, he was.
Badly, yes.
He wasn't he great, was he? He's 31 on the 2nd. Tom Dallinson. I think there was a Tom went on. I think he plays for Crawley now, Tom Dallinson, because I remember seeing him. But I thought there was a real player in there, and again, he just came at a terrible time. But I always thought Tom Dallinson was a decent enough centre half.
Yeah, definitely the wrong time because that was the Hartley experiment, wasn't it? Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, he was a good player, but he's 30, and I think he's actually had a decent career. I think I was watching like a playoff game where Crawley were playing at Wembley, and I was like, oh, he used to play for Falkirk.
That was weird, wasn't it? I remember that as well.
Leighton Bisland, invincible, of course. Now playing his trade. I think he's at Arbroath. No, he's at Arbroath now, or is he at
Oh,
Cove now?
he
He was
was at Arbroath, but I think he might have
at
moved on.
Arbroath.
Lovely guy, we met him, didn't we,
Yeah,
at
yeah,
the
yeah. He was at our table,
end of
but.
season dinner that year. So lovely guy.
Yeah, good lad. I'm just double checking where he's at now because did the Cove Rangers. Yeah, he's at Cove Rangers now. So there you go. And he'll always go down as an invincible.
He
Always be
will.
on. There you go. Third is Tufik Zirara. I do not remember Tufik Zirara.
Do you not
40.
remember him?
Nah.
It was the relegation season, 09, 10. He didn't play a lot. My abiding memory of him is he came on as a sub against St Mirren at the new stadium, at the new Love Street or whatever it's called. And our friend Gary came up with the worst song ever for him. And it was, like the Hawaiian thing. Like he was like, "Ooh, Zarara, ooh, Zarara," and I was like, "Gary, what the fuck was that?" Yeah, but that was his attempt at a song for him. But that was it.
Yeah.
So he didn't have much of a Falkirk career.
Yeah, fourth, Evil Den Beeman, the legend that is Big Evo. He's turning 59. Peter Duffield, class player as well, 57. Mark Campbell, striker, didn't really pull up the trees when he was at Falkirk. It was always a bit of a disappointment with Mark Campbell because he came with such a good pedigree.
Was that not? No, is that Mark Campbell, the centre half?
Oh, is that Mark Campbell, the centre half?
Mark,
I'm thinking of a totally Mark Campbell. Was I actually like Mark Campbell?
he was a very good
Who am I
pump in
thinking
centre
of? Do we
half.
have, there was another Mark Campbell, was there? I'm
The
just
only other
making
Mark
it up.
Campbell I remember is the shyster who tried to buy the club about 5 years
Aye,
ago.
who am I thinking of?
That's
I'm
only
thinking of a
Mark.
striker who used to play for Ayr by name Campbell. I'm totally wrong, but Mark Campbell was decent enough. Roman
Was.
Wallner, Austrian international, came to Falkirk. Yogi clearly didn't like him. He never got a game really. He ended up randomly going on loan to Hamilton. I don't know.
Did he? Is that where he went? Was he?
Yeah, I'm sure he went on loan to Hamilton or something like that.
Bloody
But
hell.
mental, a mental time, and we never really got to see him. But Roman Wallner, 44, got. I think he's like assistant manager at like Austria Vienna or something like that now.
Really weird. Really
Again, I was
weird.
watching Champions League and I was like, that's Roman Wallner. It was like mental. Jordan White still playing his trade up at Ross County. He is 34 as well. Fifth, Pelle. The only time Falkirk have had Pelle, so much so I've that season I got his name on the back of my shirt because I
Yes, I
thought, what
remember
other chance are you going to have Pelle on the back of a Falkirk shirt?
that.
So he's 48 on the fifth. Stephen Craig, obviously he lit up the, when he arrived at the club, he scored a double on his debut. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was Livingston at Brockville. He scored a double, and then he eventually moved on to Livingston, didn't he? Because that was when Livy just bought out our players.
That's right. Aye, of course it is. Happy birthday to Aidan Nesbitt this week. Aidan turns 29. I did see the video, which by the way, shout out to the media team at Falkirk, the video with all the ages where everyone, it's a TikTok trend, I've been told. So everyone has the birthday of the 90s gets
All right.
slagged off, or anyone pre 2000 gets slagged off. You go and check it out. It's very, very good. It's on the Falkirk Instagram. It's very, very good. So shout out to them.
Do you think that was a wee swan song for Nesbitt today?
Interesting. Well, I've talked about that because I thought it was very impressive when he came on. On sixth, old schoolers, remember Stuart Romaine turns 66. Zach
Remembers,
Ruddon,
yeah.
26, is obviously still playing his trade at Dunfermline as well. Ross Perry, I do not remember Ross Perry.
Ross Perry was the centre half. I think you might have been down in Newcastle at this point. He was a centre half on loan from Rangers. Again, it was him
Boinking, you'll miss him.
and who was the other centre half? Mehdi
Oh,
Kalis was the
yeah, I
centre
remember
half
Mehdi
pairing.
Kalis, yeah.
Yeah, so the two of them were the two centre
Jesus,
halves.
that's some
Really bad.
horrible players, eh? On the eighth as well, round up. Nicky Henderson, obviously, was the last player to score and a win against Celtic at Celtic Park way back in, well, it was at Hampden. It was at
Hamden,
Hampden,
yeah.
actually, when we beat them 2-0. And then Nicky Henderson's, that was the last time we beat Celtic in the league at their place. Well, at Hampden that season. He's 57 on the eighth. And Kieran Dunn, who was a bright prospect. Remember, he went to Sunderland. Like, he got hoofed up from the academy down to Sunderland.
Yeah, he remember Hartley gave him a few games and he
Yeah, he
actually
was.
he came across really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, 26, he's still a young pup.
Yeah, he's at Peterhead now. So I checked out on him. So he was a wet Cove and then got released by Cove and he's playing his games at Peterhead now. So there you go. He's 26 and 8. So lots of players' birthday this week, and happy birthday to Aidan when it comes around. Club news, we've talked about Stenny stuff. Big contract news though this week is Finn Yeats has signed on for 2 more years until 2028.
Brilliant. Yeah, really good. Really chuffed for him. He's should have started, in my opinion, today as well. I thought he'd been doing really
I
well.
don't think he was great last week. I can see why Marsh started this week as opposed to
I was thinking more of how he did against Celtic though, because I thought
Right.
he did really well in the home game against
Yeah, he
Celtic.
did. He did, yeah.
Yeah, so but no, really chuffed for him. He's and as John McGlynn said during the week as well, he's more than deserved. And it wasn't, and it's not as if this has been on the card. He's literally kind of forced his way back into the side. So fair play to him.
Yeah, and he's won two more, 2 more years on his deal as well. So well done, Finn. Obviously, we had I discussed the Barney announcement and the preview podcast as well. So we've got two of our young starlets, Finn and Barney, signed up for longer as well, which is great news. Conor Allen, I would start seriously thinking about Conor Allen getting added to that list as well. After again, just outstanding again today. So good to get
Very
these young guys on longer contracts, you know. And Finn has fought his way into the team, and you know, I think maybe would feel probably a bit disheartened by the fact he was left on the bench today, but I could see probably why they played Marsh instead today. But in the end, maybe we could have done with Finn on that part today, but we'll get into that just in a minute. However, hit the sad music, Ross. Tom has gone to Arbroath on loan. I'm not getting to see Tom in a Falkirk shirt this season. That really sorely disappoints me.
He needs the game time. He's obviously struggled with injuries. We've got an abundance of center halves as well that have kind of
I
either
mean,
made the
Cole. I mean,
space
Cole's
alone.
not even in the team. You know, Cole's been sucking pine since he's got back from injury, and you
He
can't.
has. Lewis Nielsen found
Yeah,
himself. Lewis Nielsen found himself out the squad today as well. So
exactly.
it just shows you.
Oh, Tom, I'll miss you. I really will. I hope it's not the last time we've seen Tom in a Falkirk shirt. I really hope. Like I say, I think Tom's got a lot to offer, so I hope he goes to Arbroath and absolutely smashes it. Because you know, I love Tom.
Yeah,
Everybody
no,
knows
he's a
I love
good guy, brilliant guy as well.
Everybody knows I love Tom, but I love Tom for his foot, as well as being a handsome bastard. I love Tom for his what he does on the park, and you know, I always said he's the most aggressive defender we have, like in terms of defending, you know, that side of things. So, aye, good luck, Tom. That's all I'll say. Good luck, Tom, and
Exactly.
hopefully we see you in a Falkirk shirt soon enough. Tickets remain on sale for Libby, which is our next game. That's on Wednesday. And as we said, tickets obviously sold out for Stenny. So if you fancy getting on to the Livingston game, that is on Wednesday. Tickets are available for that. And if you've not seen it this week, the Falkirk Academy, Tony Begg was giving a great update on the Academy, Ross.
Superb, yeah, really good. Listen, I love listening to Tony. I think he's fantastic. He's so like he's just got an infection. You can tell he's absolutely buzzing with the role and how the boys are doing as well. So no, if you've not seen it yet, go on to Falkirk TV or the YouTube page and give Tony's video a wee watch.
Yeah, no, great. And I mean, it's what a hard job he's had to do. Basically, relaunch the whole academy. Like I was speaking to my mate in the pub yesterday, and his son's involved with like the St Johnstone Academy. So to you know, within 6 months to completely relaunch academy, and you'll build it like get the it's getting the players in because you've got we've been probably I think imagine quite lucky in the fact that. Obviously, Hamilton have went to shit a bit. Their academy went to shit, and Queen's Park as well. So I think a lot of the guys that were on the books there have been hoovered up by our academy to get it going. But think of the number of players that you need to get in at all those levels to play. So it's a hell of a job and finding that. And I'm sure that there's been a lot of, you know, it'd be rocky roads getting the amount of players that he's needed into. But as far as I'm aware, all the squads are full up now, you know, and. Wait and see, hopefully, how it progresses and get some of these boys coming through the academy like we used to and making their way onto the
And the
bench and
first
into the
team,
first team.
absolutely,
That's right. So well
absolutely.
done, Tony. Absolutely brilliant. And like you say, he's really infectious, Tony, and great to hear him. Junior Bairns now at 515 members, which is an all-time record. Is that right?
So they're going for the all-time record of 535. So I bumped into Sarah last week. So they're at 515 now. The aim was to get to the 500, which they've done. And there was a really nice photo opportunity with the 500th member at the stadium. But yes, now they're at 515. So there is another shout out to the masses out there. Get your kids signed up if you can, because the all-time record back at Brockville was 535, and they are only 20 away from that. So if you've not got your wee one signed up, I think the age limit's 14 from memory. Birth is the earliest you can obviously be in. But yeah, get enrolled and see if we can smash that 535.
Yeah, there you go. Brilliant. So, come on, let's get to the 5-3-5, get that record, and Sarah will be very happy with that. Before we talk about the game, let's say thanks very much to Behind the Wall, their sponsors, of course, of this podcast. My mate was in, tried his first Falkirk Daft Venom last night. He was Grant Thompson from Clyde One. He was in Behind the Wall. He was there with his in-laws last night, and I said, "Well, you've got to try a Falkirk Daft Venom." I was very disappointed though. There was no Falkirk Daft Straw on it, which. Disappointing, but he said he loved it. He said
Good.
he absolutely loved it. So he said it's a bit sweet. I said, but yeah, you could probably only have one. But he said it was great. So there we go. And it's still on sale at Behind the Wall. Try it next time you're in the pub. And of course, they've got the best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft, and cask ales at Behind the Wall. And the bus to Livingston is £12.50. I think there's still spaces on that. So you get obviously the Carling coach to Livingston. So it's the Coors coach now.
Here's coach now, yep.
So you get your pint of Coors when you get back to the pub. And Coors, I would have to say, no offence to Carling, but Coors is a better pint than Carling.
Coors, I enjoy a pint of Coors. I don't mind that at all. I think
You
it's got a
go.
better head on it too.
So there you go. You get your pint of Coors when you get back from the Livingston game. ABBA tribute's happening there on the 27th of March. And of course, they're running buses to Take That at Hampden in June. £15 return. Ross, what's your favourite Take That song? I don't know. I ask you about Fleetwood Mac and stuff, and you go, "Oh, don't know any of them." But I'll ask you about Take That and guarantee you know your favourite Take That song.
Mate, the biggest difficulty I'll have here is choosing which one of
Oh
them
my
isn't fair.
God.
Do you know, shout out, there's a very good Take That documentary on
On
Netflix just now.
Netflix, yeah. You watched all three episodes, Ross?
We binged watched it on Friday
My
night
God,
with the
Jesus.
missus. Yeah, we did. It was a good watch actually. Mate, genuinely it's a tough one.
I'm not asking you to pick your favourite child here, Ross.
I think I'd be easier to do that, to be honest. There's so many.
Oh my God. Right, we'll come back to this
Come
at the end.
back to me
Bear
because
with
there is
thinking
a.
this, and we'll come
I will
back
have a good think.
at the end of the podcast, right?
We will
Okay.
have a good
So
think.
there you go. There's something to keep you hooking and listening with. I'll find out at the end of the podcast what Ross's favourite
What's
Take
my
That
favourite
song
one
was.
of this?
There we go. More information about all of that at behindthewall.co.uk. Right, let's talk about Celtic now. As I said, Ross was there. I was watching it on the telly with young Finlay McInally. Couple of changes. Well, one change from the team that defeated Hibs last week, and that's what we talked about earlier on with Louis Marsh coming in for Finn Yeats. Well, we saw the return of Ross McKeever to the Falkirk bench, so great to see Big Ross back on the bench. And Philip Lisa made the bench as well, which was great to see. Well, Lewis Neilson, as you said, Ross, he dropped off the bench, as did Ethan Williams. Ethan Williams, we think, might have been injured, though, is that right?
That's the chat today. There was a few people saying that Williams has picked up a knock, so hopefully nothing too serious. So yeah, fingers crossed. Obviously, I know John McGlynn has commented on social media this evening that he is looking at a potential signing between now and the window shutting.
That strikes. I thought that was a bit of a surprise when McGlynn said that. I thought he was quite happy with the squad he's got, unless he thinks that somebody might be going out tomorrow and he needs another body in.
Well, there's that issue.
I mean,
Ben Parkinson.
Dylan Tate's the worrying one for me. It's like, obviously, we think there's a contract on the table for him. You know, his contract runs out at the end of the season. And do you know what? As I said, in terms of his stats, I think he's the midfielder, central midfielder, with the most forward passes in the league, and obviously the most fouled player in the league. We all know that. So it'll be interesting to see if what Dylan's situation is. I'm hoping he'll sign for Falkirk, but.
Certainly, John also mentioned in his post-match that he's not had any inquiries,
Yeah.
so maybe that's not the issue. But listen, we've lost Ben Parkinson for the next 10 to 12 weeks, so
Yeah.
is he looking at a striker? Is Ethan Williams' injury worse than we know? Is it a winger he's bringing in?
Can we bring
So
anyone in? I'm trying to work out if we can bring some. No, we can bring someone else on because obviously Trey went back to Sunderland, so we've got
we're okay from a
one loan.
loans perspective.
Yeah, because
That'll be
obviously
okay.
Parkinson is a a full-fledged signing.
He
So yeah,
was.
we've got space to get another one. Sam Hart, what's happening with Sam Hart? It's just not getting mentioned anywhere now. I
Yeah,
mean, is he injured? Is he just not getting near the squad? What is the
I think
squad?
he's just out the squad. Yeah, there's obviously, as you said, Lewis Nielsen out the squad today. He's fully fit. We now know Gary Oliver's back fully fit and not in the squad.
Tom's went out alone.
Tom's went out on loan. There's a little bit of a rumour that Aidan Nesbitt's going to Morton. That seems to have started to trickle out. I don't know if there's any truth in that either. I did wonder, was that a little bit of a swan song for Nesbitt today, getting 10 minutes? But I don't know if John's like that. I don't know if John would actually be sentimental around that situation. But so yeah. It'd be interesting to see what happens. 6 o'clock, I think, is it tomorrow night? Is the deadline? Is that what?
No, I'll be 11 o'clock.
Is
Be
that
on.
11 o'clock? So I don't know where I've heard six from,
Yeah.
but yeah. So we'll see what tomorrow brings, and we might have a new face in the squad for Livingston on Wednesday night.
Interesting. Interesting. We'll keep an eye on that one. But yeah, it changes to the team. As I said, I thought Finn was quite quiet last week against Hibs, so I wasn't surprised that Louis came in for him because he obviously showed up really well, obviously with assist, and we'll give him the goal last week as well. So I wasn't surprised in that change. And we started the match very, very well. That first 10 minutes, we came out the box flying, Ross.
We did. I thought we started brilliantly. I don't think Celtic could handle the intensity that we started. I see Martin O'Neill has alluded to something similar at his comments at his post-match as well, that Falkirk were the better team in the beginning and they had to get a grip of the game. And we could have scored. It was a very, very good opportunity for Barney, and I thought he did really well to make a brilliant save at Casper.
Yeah, no, it was a great ball in from Leon, and then a great header from Barney, just like so close, and but a good save from Kasper Schmeichel, and we were like the first 10 minutes we were fine, we were doing all right, and then obviously Celtic got a bit more of a grab of the game. I mean, there was a lot of balls coming into Scott Bain the box, but there was nothing really troublesome. I mean, I thought again Henderson and Anilin were excellent at the back and defended really, really well. I mean, the only real bit of trouble was when Yang went through and Scott Bain had to save it. He was miles offside, by the way. I've no idea how the linesman's not spotted that at all. And if that, I mean, obviously, if it leads to a goal, it's chopped off for being offside, but it led to a corner, and I was just like, if they score from this corner, that is ridiculous.
I thought the main stand side linesman was really poor, like all game. His hand didn't go our way at all in the first half, and he seemed to find his flag in the second half, strangely. But Yang was a handful. We had our next best spell. We're not there yet, but we had our next best spell when he ended up going off just after half time with a bit of an injury. So, but yeah, he was a threat, but we held our own, and for 40 minutes, we were very comfortable.
Leon McCann, I think, getting booked early on, kind of, this is about 17th minute he booked. I thought that kind of didn't help our cause because I thought Calvin Miller had to do a lot more defending than he probably would like to have done because of Leon's booking. My Chippy, who's obviously been on this podcast before, bumped into him on the way to the game when he was sitting waiting for his lift. He messaged me saying that he thought it should have been a red card. I was like, are you kidding me?
For who?
Leon
Leon?
McCann, but
No.
he hadn't watched it on. I'd obviously watched it on the telly, and it was a yellow card, undoubtedly a yellow card, but it was nowhere near a red.
No. Listen, you have that inner panic because he did go in at speed. So you do have that moment of, oh, is VAR looking at this? But no, I it probably was a yellow. But as you said, it did. I don't think it affected Leon's game hugely. I thought I still had a very strong game. But you're right, it probably meant that he did have to be a bit more careful, and Calvin was obviously doing a lot of supportive work there as well.
I mean, it wasn't really. I mean, this is why it was a weird game. It wasn't like we had some really nice little passages of play, but sometimes we were just let down by that final ball going up the park.
Final ball wasn't great, and our set
Yeah.
piece delivery was
Oh, set piece
really
delivery was
poor.
shocking today.
Really, really poor today.
I thought I think it was Brad Spencer, near the end of the game, just hit a corner and just went miles.
Yeah.
I thought our delivery from set pieces was pretty poor today, as was the final ball. That final pass, Kyle Wilson a couple of times, Dylan Tate a couple of times. Just, there was so many situations where we were breaking up the park, and there was, little overlaps, and we had numbers, and we just didn't. We took some wrong options every time today,
Yeah.
it seemed like. So it just didn't go our way. I mean, looking at stats for the game, certainly, we were, when you look at the match stats, 43 pretty much to 57% stats, 14 shots from us, 10 to 10, Celtic's 10, 4 shots on target from us to Celtic's 5. We held our own. When you look at it, touches inside the opposition box, 21 to Celtic's 29. We're there or thereabouts,
That's I listen, John. I know I said this earlier, but it's the best we've played at Celtic Park for a while, and I genuinely am disappointed we've not taken a point. I thought we deserved a point from the game. The finishing was the difference. Listen, we'll talk about it in a second, but they've got a multi-million pound player who has done what Barney unfortunately couldn't do in the 10th minute. And get his header away as a goal. They have players who cost a lot of money, and they are there for the big moments, and they made it count twice. So it's hard to be too disappointed, but you've got a level of disappointment thinking that is we as you said, the stats show we held our own. I'm sure it will. So I've not spoke to any Celtic fans personally yet that I've spoke to, but I know they'll probably be saying the same thing. There was a hard, like Martin O'Neill said on his post match, it was a hard game, for
I
Celtic.
mean, like you say, it was a very similar chance actually to Barney's chance, of Ankara's chance. Kieran Tierney, former, well, Scotland international, former Arsenal, multi-million, 20-odd million he went to Arsenal for as well. Great ball in from him, like Leon did. But again, Mankara just had, it was a very good header. I have to say,
It was.
Scott Bain's got no chance for it. It's a very good header. And 1-0 Celtic, and it's just a shame that we couldn't hold out, because what was the atmosphere like from the Celtic supporters in there? Were they getting on the team's back? That's kind
No,
of.
they weren't actually. They were the but I felt like a Falkirk goal with the crowd would have turned. I think had we got a goal, I think the crowd would have turned on the team because it was only really the board that were getting it. And even then, John, it was like I've never heard Parkhead so quiet. It was like a library. It reminded me of Ibrox when we played Rangers in November. Ibrox was like a morgue that day, and Celtic Park was like a morgue today as well.
We almost got back into it though before half time. It was a weird one. I can't remember whose header game, but it came off Kyrell, and kind of like, I don't know if the header would have been going in, or was it a shot? God,
It
it
was a
just,
real scramble. There was
yeah.
two or three half attempts that we could have scored from, but yeah, not to be. And as you said, we go in at half time, probably quite disappointed. Like the five or six who I was with were certainly disappointed to be, because we just felt if you get in at 0-0, the crowd will boo them off, and it gives us a bit of a wee psychological bit there as well.
But it was 0-0, and it's just a shame sorry, 1-0 to Celtic, and just a shame we couldn't get in and frustrate that. Second half, though, again, like we started the first half, we came out the box absolutely flying.
We did. We did. We John McGlynn's obviously had words, probably not a negative words, but just like, listen, keep doing what you've been doing. As the stats show, we're very much in the game. I think we did have our best spell when the pace of Yang went off. I don't think Celtic brought on anyone for like, but we had real pressure on Celtic at that point, and it was again. They then score really against the run of play, don't they?
It was against the run of play, but again, you got Callum McGregor and the boy Nygren, Swedish international, and obviously, Callum McGregor, legend at Celtic. You just can't give him that space and
No.
not track the runs. Like, it was quite simple, the goal, in terms of, it was just a 1-2, and Nygren's hit it. I believe Scott Bain thought he should have saved it. Like I heard Joel McGlynn say in his post-match that Bain was quite critical of himself, saying he should have saved that. It was a hard one, you know. I thought he had got a hand to it, but no, it was just a hit from Nygren that went in. But you
Yeah,
can't afford to give, you know, those types of
that level
players
of
space.
space. No, you can't. And I agree with Scott Bain, if I'm being honest. At the time, I thought that, so that was like a really poor goal for him because he's such a top class keeper. So he will be peed off himself. But yeah, it was against the run of play. And if I'm being honest, I still felt that if we could get a goal, there's the crowds for turning because they weren't keeping the ball really well. It was Falkirk that were doing the passing, that were getting the moves and behind them, but we tired towards the end as well, and the subs were, for me, needed.
I'm looking at the XG just there, Ross, 'cause I was one of these stats geeks. We had actually 1.07 to Celtic 0.61, which
There you
tells a
go.
story in itself in terms of the XG. So, but yeah, it's again, there was some nice little passes of play. We knocked the ball about well at parts, but again, it just
We did.
so many times that final ball was just so frustrating. I thought the subs, I thought Louis Marsh kind of went a bit missing. But he had moments, but he went missing a lot of passes. Kyrell put in a lot of effort, and obviously in the first half it did seem like, right, get the ball to Kyrell, let's put Tierney under pressure with his pace. But again, there was just so many times that the final ball wouldn't go to him, or he hadn't, like Scott Bain tried to throw him in, he hadn't got in behind, and again, not he wasn't great. I thought Dylan Tate, I thought Dylan Tate was. Had some great moments today, but he kind of fell away a wee bit in the second half as well. So yeah, the subs probably came at the right time, and the right people probably got taken off, I reckon.
I would agree. I think Louis Marsh just he had a tough afternoon. There wasn't a lot. There was a couple of flashes, but he lost the ball a number of times. And Celtic Park is not the place to keep losing the ball in midfield. That's where I think Finn could have been a better player in for us. Like he'd shown at the Celtic home game at the Falkirk Stadium not that long ago that Finn did a lot of dirty work that allowed Brad and Dylan to do a bit more. The right backs, obviously Celtic were targeting Keelan.
Don't know
So
why Keelan had an excellent game. He was
it,
I thought he was really, really good.
yeah, they, but the, a lot, a huge amount of their play went down that wing. And but Kyrell, I thought, did well supporting Keelan. Obviously, I know the Tierney cross came from that side. The second goal came from that side as well. But
Oh God, I can just hear Lewis Conley in our group chat, constantly berating Keelan Adams' defensive lineup. I'm sure he was at that game saying, I told you, came from the right hand side.
I think the first one. If I would need to watch it back, so I've not seen the goals back yet. I think it was maybe more Kyrell for the first one, to be fair to him. The second one, we weren't closing people down, and
Nah.
that's criminal at Celtic Park.
And just letting Nygren run off you as well. That
No,
was a bit criminal,
he
but
can't do it.
no, he.
And Barney ran his race by that by the time he
I
got
thought
subbed as
Barney
well.
did what for everything he had to feed off. I thought Barney did all right up
Yep.
front for
Yeah,
him.
I think so too. It's a
So.
shame he didn't get that early goal because I think that could have made a huge difference to him. It would have certainly made a big difference to the outcome of the game, I think. But Brian Graham came on and he had a good shot off as well. So fair play to him for getting a good save out of Casper towards the end as well. But just not our day. We finishing. Poor decision making in the final ball and not taking the chance
It was weird. I
when we can.
thought when it went 2-0, it seemed like both teams were like, oh, we'll just both settle for that. Because Celtic, kind of managed out the game, and we didn't really go at it, I don't think, as with the intensity that I thought we could have done to try and get our nose back into the game. Because, if you go to it goes 2-1, you never know. But yeah, just maybe it was the subs, just all the changes that got made that kind of took the sting out of the game a wee bit. But I mean, up until the second goal, it was pretty end to end, fast flowing stuff, and I just thought we kind of lost our way a wee bit with the subs.
Yeah, sometimes they can be hugely impactful, sometimes they aren't. I think some of the heads had went down at 2-0, unfortunately. And like, you get it. Listen, there's 60,000 people there. The vast majority of them are not backing you to do well. But we had moments, and I thought there was going to be a big moment for us in the game, though. Like, I really
I
thought
just wanted a goal. I just
we're
want
going to get
was
a
at the
goal.
end,
We
so I
deserved
just
a goal as well.
deserved a
But
goal. Yeah. Thought
not to be.
Aidan Nesbitt, Aidan Nesbitt, if it is swan song as you're maybe suggesting, thought Aidan did really well when he came on for the last 10 minutes.
Did all right, put yourself about. Yep,
He had a
hustled.
lovely bit of skill at one point down and where he just dragged it and stuck out the line. It
Yeah,
was lovely.
no, I did. Listen, if had I had a had I not heard about the Morton thing, I wouldn't even be thinking that it's a he's got 10 minutes to sort of finish up. But at John really rates him, and he wouldn't put him on if he doesn't rate him. He wouldn't even be on the bench. So he's a very energetic lad, and you can and he did bring legs to the last 10 minutes to the team as well.
Yeah, welcome. Well, let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match.
John, always a difficult place to come. What did you make of how the game panned out?
Yeah, I thought we started really well. I thought the opening 10 minutes were really, really good. In that opening 10 minutes or so, Barnes had a great header, glancing header, going away for goal, going away from the goalkeeper into the corner, and the keeper's made a great save. And I think if you're going to win at Celtic Park, I think more often than not, you're going to have to take the lead. And if we'd got that early goal, it may well have been different overall. Celtic got a bit dominant after that, you know, after that opening 10-minute period that I'm talking about. Scott Bain's made a great save for Yang, an unbelievable save. He's got in behind our defence. He's got a great first touch and he's blasted it. And Scott has made an amazing save. I thought we defended really well for vast majority of it. We defended corner kicks. We lose a corner kick at home to Celtic not so long ago, and we know that the delivery is very good. So we had to deal with the delivery, which we did actually. We did. We dealt with it all afternoon, which is pleasing. However, you know, getting towards the half time. We've not managed to stop the cross coming in for the goal, and we've not managed to be close enough and tight enough to affect the striker, who's managed to glance the ball just a little bit better than Barney to go in off the post. So yeah, a bit disappointed to go in at 1-0 because the guys are putting so much effort. So they've got a good side, especially when they get their tails up here and take the lead. But I thought we started the second half exceptionally well, and again, Michael denies us from getting a leveller. So, just what we're looking for: going to put Celtic on pressure, make them a little bit jittery, make the anxiety from the stand, you know, effect onto the pitch. And I thought we did that. I thought we did really, really well. I think Celtic scored a very good second goal. Scotty's put his hand up, thinks he should have done better, but as I mentioned, the great save of Yang. He had a very good save after 2-0, he had a great save as well. So, you know, Scotty's been brilliant for us, no pointing the finger at anyone at all. So, yeah, I thought we finished the game strongly. I thought we continued to play, we continued to pass the ball, we continued to threaten. And another day, we could be walking out here, fine margins, we could easily walk out here with a point. And another day, you score and you go in front. You know, you may be walking out with 3 points because I think there's a hell of a lot good about our performance today.
He seems pretty happy, John, doesn't he?
Yeah, listen, the performance merited it. We've not been out fought or
Certainly not
outclassed.
embarrassed, you know. Absolutely not.
Definitely not
You know, we
embarrassed,
went
no.
there and we showed up well, as we did, you know, which we a game we should have at least got a point, if not three, at the stadium a few weeks back as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you know, Celtic Park. Like, there's a reason we've not won there since, like I say, 1986, 87. I think Jimmy Gilmore was the last time we won at
Yeah,
Celtic Park.
but listen, there's a reason a lot of teams don't win
Yeah,
there. So,
exactly.
but we've done ourselves proud. And if again, if we play like we have done the last 2 or 3 weeks, And including today on Wednesday night, we will be too much for Livingston.
We'll talk Livingston in just a bit with our friend Stuart Barry as we look ahead towards the game. But let's hear what you guys were saying about the match. SP Offshore kicks off saying, "No eats in the starting 11 was a big blunder for me." We talked about that. He frees up Tate and Brad and would make either Ingles or McGregor like he did at the stadium. Sorry, with Mark, either Ingles or McGregor. Overall, they took their chances and we didn't. That was the game.
Totally agree. Good sum. Colin says, played well again, but not taking our chances. 5 minutes before Celtic's second, we lost all composure and handed them the match. Take the positives into Wednesday. A win there would be a big one.
It would be. It would be. Tam says, it's as you were, with the only notable change being the point gained by Hibs against Rangers. Free hit and still top six. Livy on Wednesday. There you go. Very positive. Yeah, I mean, it is like if we're going top six, obviously Aberdeen getting beaten off Kilmarnock, Dundee United losing against Hearts, and then obviously, so it's all kind of as was.
Two great results yesterday for us, as he says. So, yeah, good weekend. I know we've not picked up any points.
Could have been doing with Rangers beating Hibs, right enough.
Yeah, that would have been perfect, but there's still quite a bit of football to be played even before the split. So see how we go. Alan says we could play any incarnation of Celtic 1,000 times a season and we'd win none of them. That's an interesting point.
I know. It just seems that way. It's like, you know, like Avengers Endgame where Doctor Strange says you've got one chance. And, like, that's what you got to get against Celtic, you know. You got to let Iron Man die, man. So it does feel like that. It does feel like that. Donna says, compared to the previous results at Parkhead, I'm happy we managed to keep the scoreline at 2. Team is still showing improvement, although daft decisions are still there.
Wee Div says, I'm disappointed tonight, which I suppose shows how far we've came, but I've seen us play a lot better. Harsh. Both their finishes were clinical, to be fair. I thought we had a decent chance before kickoff, but we were well beat in the end.
That makes sense.
On to Livy, another team that we never beat. Well, listen, it's got to happen sometime.
Yeah, there you go. Jay Penman says, sense some complacency seeping in, lack of courage, poor decision-making and lack of composure when it mattered. Let's not forget what we're all about. Move on and get the Livy monkey off our back.
I don't know. Where was the complacency against Hibs and Hearts in the last 2 weeks? That's an odd statement, isn't it?
Well, I think he's maybe alluding to, you know, after that second goal went in, we did get a bit sat back, and I don't think the hunger was there for it. And I don't know. I just thought when we went 2-0 down, I thought both teams almost settled for it.
To me, if you're talking about in isolation,
I think lack of courage is a bit harsh, but there was poor decision making and a lack.
No, there was. Absolutely. Complacency is a tough because we've been very consistent at everything we do. You're right though. There was points where today we've not made the right decisions. And finally, KT says, "Got to take the chances at a place like that." And she's bob on. You need to take your chances or you don't get the points.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right, Falkirk Daft, right, who are we going for?
Leon McCann for me. I thought he was very consistent again today.
I would say Keelan Adams, but then you've now got it in my head that the both goals came from the right, and all I can hear is Lewis Conley in my ear.
I would need to watch it back to see who's not picked up a man or who's not blocked across, but they did both come from the right. If we're being picky, I thought Leon was really consistent again. But Caitlin had a good game.
By the way, you know what? Not spoke about really Hendo and Connor Allen. Like again, Chippy got on to me saying, "Is Leon? I hope Liam enjoys Kavanagh, whatever he's called, the striker's shirt." Vankara, is it? Because he had a hold of it all match. And I don't think so. I'd stop Leo. Liam had a great game at the centre half, and I thought him and Connor were excellent.
I think once again today proves that Celtic and, well, I suppose Rangers, when you think back to the game at Ibrox as well, it's like the other team aren't allowed to be in the game. Like, they moan at every single little thing, and that it's just very infuriating. I don't think non Old Firm fans are as bad at that. Like, if we're at home and a decision doesn't go our way, we don't throw a paddy about it, and that certainly was the case today. I've never heard fans, it's probably since the game at Ibrox, where they moan at absolutely everything, every little decision.
Right, okay, and we'll give it to Leon then. I'll go Leon. I'll need to watch the goals back because that's been planted in my head now. I thought Keelan was excellent today, certainly getting forward. I thought he was really, really good, but we'll give it to Leon. Though again, but Leon got a yellow card early and that kind of offset. Oh, it's just the two of us as well. We don't have a third person to decide. Is it Leon? Is it Keelan? Is it
I'm easy either way.
Brad Spencer was good in patches today, but he was just patches. Yeah, we'll go Leon. We've got any dafties we'd like to nominate?
I don't think so. Not from the game anyway. No, can't think of anything today.
I could go for two in a row after my body pump class and choosing the wrong weights. I could go for dafty again.
You did. You got dafty last week, didn't you?
I know. My arms are killing me. Arms are killing me. But no, I don't. Or do we give it for the Steny ticket fiasco?
I was. Do you know that's spooky? I was just about to say, do we give it to Steny after the balls up that they made of?
Let's give it to the Steny ticket fiasco. Let's do that. Okay, dafty. It's a Steny ticket fiasco. There we go. Someone at the club can take hold up the hands for that one. I don't know who it is, but there we go. Hold up your hands for that. All right then, cool. That is your Falkirk Daft Rating, Falkirk Dafties of the week. And let's now talk Livingston in the company of our only Livingston supporter we know, Stuart Barry.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, stay local, eat and drink global.
Every week at Falkirk Daft, we like to look ahead to the next game, and that is a midweek. We don't normally do it on the review show, but we've got two games this week, and we're invited our old friend who's been on the podcast many times, the only Livingston supporter we know. It's Stuart Barry back on to talk Livy. Hi, Stuart.
All right, my Falkirk friends, and a big shout out to Jack, the Falkirk fan, who speaks to me in the gym. Your number one fan, John. Yes, he is daft.
Oh, there we go. Shout out to Jack. Thank you very much for listening or watching this podcast. He'll be watching now to see your beautiful face, Stuart.
Well, God help you all.
Livingston, right, let's get into it straight away. It's been, last time we played Livingston, we spoke to Marvin, your new boss, which is mental. Since we spoke to you, Stuart, how's the season been?
Now that status quo song, down, down, deeper and down, followed up by Bruce Springsteen, I'm going down. That pretty much sums up our season. But there's always hope. There's always the Falkirk game for 3 points.
Well, there's nothing more certain in this world than death, taxes and getting beat off Livingston from a Falkirk perspective. but yeah, it's been a bit of a shambles this season, Stuart, hasn't it? Where's it all gone wrong?
Fine margins, that's for sure. I think we've conceded over 50 goals, which isn't good enough, and we've not scored enough. I think it's 20-odd goals. We are an absolute killer for the last minute goal, and we just seem to be making daft mistake after daft mistake at the back. It seems everybody has a turn of the weekly daft mistake, from really experienced players making them to some of the new guys, and it's one calamity after another.
I guess obviously news broke this morning, and I knew something was happening because Marvin was meant to be doing a shift on Super Scoreboard, and I got a message from him at 11 o'clock this morning saying, can you get someone to do my shift because I can't do it now. And I went, right, okay, what's going on here? So then I managed to get Hugh Keevans in to do his shift and stuff, and then right enough, the news, it was very obvious why he couldn't do his shift today. But then he's your new gaffer. Obviously, Dave Martindale.
Is he the new gaffer, John?
This is the question I'm going to ask you, because you've got this situation. Now, he's now been made sporting director. Am I right in saying that, Stuart?
We have got more backroom staff than we've got fans. We've had an extension built for our bench to get all the coaches on.
Yeah, because Brian Rice, I thought, was sporting director. What's his role now at the club?
I think he's director of football and pencils, whereas Davey's director of football and pens, an important question. Because Davey had a word with himself and decided that he should go, but also appointed himself as director of football. Now, all joking aside, I wasn't a big advocate for change. I thought Davey deserved the whole of the season and a chance to get out. He just signed a load of new players. So, you know, you've got a chance for them to work. And yet, if you're going to change something, change it. This is just more of the same with Davey in a different role. The only thing that's going to be different, perhaps, is Davey's not on the bench shouting at people.
Yeah.
Sure. See, just to go back on something you said there, right? So I get what he's done before. I 100% get it, right? But why should someone who's not won since the 9th of August keep their job?
Now, this is an argument I have with the guys round about us in our Livy WhatsApp group, which doesn't see a lot of action, as you can imagine. It's simply because who's better than him right now? There's nobody out there. If we take on a manager from somewhere else, it's likely that he's failed a lesser club than Livingston, and we're only letting somebody come in and fill a seat. There is nobody better than Davey. He knows the club. He knows the players. He knows what to do to get out of this situation, because he's done it before. Who else would you bring in? I mean, I've racked my brains and I've had the argument with everybody. He also deserves the time as well. That's important. But, you know, once Neil McCann got appointed, that was us running out of options, I think. This, you know, unless Barry Ferguson come in and with the brown brogues and keep us going, there's nobody out there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like you say, I guess there's that whole thing that obviously Marvin's in there now. Now, no Marvin. Marvin's his own man, so it'll be really interesting to see what it does. But I guess there is that kind of in the background that Davey still there, you know, pulling the strings. But I mean, I don't think that'll be the case, because knowing Marvin as I do, like, I can't see him taking that. I think he'll want to do his own thing.
But what's going to be different from now than then? Davey will still be a superior to Marvin. He'll still be Marvin's boss. He was coach and he was manager. Now he's director of football and he's manager. Davey is still Marvin's boss, whatever way you cut it.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. The one thing that might happen, however, Stuart, is ahead of, you might get a new manager bounce going into Wednesday. I mean, obviously, you know, as I say, we, and as we all know, Falkirk have really struggled against Livingston last season, this season. I mean, the only one you've had this season is against us. And like four of your points that you've had this season are against us. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how confident are you going into the game on Wednesday?
Well, our last win is when the Edinburgh Fringe was at its height. And
that's Friday.
Valentine's in the shops and the Easter eggs in the shops, and there's still no one. I don't know. It was the talk of Saturday afternoon in the wee row where I sit with Rob and Raymond and Wayne and Anton, the guys that sit about us. We all looked at each other one point.
You just named the full crowd.
They were now coaches. And we sat there and we were like, Falkirk's going to beat us, and Wednesday, I know, and so that really hurts. I can take getting hammered all the time, but this was our one pride, and one wee bright spark. At least we beat Falkirk, and that's about to get snatched, because I did watch the game today on a scouting mission, and watching Falkirk, I thought they were excellent second half.
I suspect that's why Marvin threw in his shift today, because obviously he was going to get questioned about what was going on. But also, I would suspect he got a ticket for Celtic Park to get along to see the game today. I mean, it's the thing is, with from our perspective, it is that absolute monkey on our back that we need to get rid of. And my worry is, with, you know, Marvin now in charge, is it going to happen this Wednesday, Ross? I don't know.
No,
Yeah,
I
not
think.
that question.
Sorry, I think we will get the monkey off our back on Wednesday. I agree with Stuart. I don't see Marvin giving them a new manager bounce, because it's not really a new manager if Davey's still in the building. There were loads of chat today. Now, obviously, I don't know where it came from, but when the news broke about Davey Martindale, who the hell was it said it today? Someone said today that it came out in the press that the players, there was loads of shouting going on after the game yesterday. I think there was a bit huge argument with Davey and the squad and stuff. So that's obviously been the final straw for either the squad or Davey himself. But I just don't see and I know obviously you know Marvin really well, John, but I just don't see him making a massive impact in this second half of the season now. With it, I'm not saying they're doomed. I think Kelly obviously winning at the weekend hasn't done Livingston any favours. I thought there was three clubs who are ripe for potentially going down: the Livy, Kelly, and St Mirren. Dundee, I think, are probably a bit too far away now. But I think we've got a real strong chance of winning the game on Wednesday. If we can play like we have done the last few weeks, I think we can do it.
What about these new players, Stuart? Obviously, your man Ford came out. He's put his money where his mouth is. All sorts of rumours I heard about Lyndon Dykes being potentially touted and Hardy, and there was that, like, he's obviously came in with big ideas, and he's spent kind of big from what I'm hearing on. These players that have come in. What of the new boys? Is there anyone that stood out of the new players that you brought in?
In a word, no.
No, really.
One of the best descriptions of one of our new guys is Zimmerman. He says he's like a speedboat with no driver, which is he's so fast. And then he's like Forrest Gump. You're like, there's the ball. You need to be over there. It's early days. It's no fair to do it. But part of my frustration is I thought these guys were brought in as first team starters. Yet they look like squad players in a squad that's struggling. So that's a bit odd. So we've got a Man City player, Sissoko, who's just left. He's on his way somewhere else, and we replaced him with a guy called Danson. And the game kind of passed him by most of the time. To be fair, he played in a howler against Aberdeen, and he was up against some really tough opposition with Just from Motherwell, who's probably one of the best midfielders. So it was hard to judge that, but he never showed anything. Zimmerman just runs. You'll get a laugh at him going, look how fast he is and how little he contributes. And the second bit is Alex Tam. He's like the Terminator. He's a big, strong specimen. When he's lining up to come on, you're going, he looks great. I can't wait till he gets on. Now, to be fair to the guy, he's had zero service. I don't think anybody's even passed him in the 20 minutes that he's came on so far. So we've yet to see what he can do. To the new players, jury's out. We do have what's allegedly a six-figure signing, and knowing Davey, that's probably 6 grand. And that's Fatty, the left back. And he was hit and miss on Saturday. But again, he was up against Maswanisi, who took him to the cleaners quite
Yeah,
regularly.
yeah.
See
Obviously.
this with Arfield though, Stuart. Obviously, I know he's injured just now. But I don't like John. Have I picked this up as well? I think like it was Davey signing. It wasn't, or it came in kind of out of the blue with Scotty signing. Does this leave Scott Arfield in a bit of a weird position at Livy? He's obviously not played a lot already. Is he going to get game time under Marvin?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and when he played, he was taking up really clever positions. That position he plays, I hate saying it, the number 10 role, but behind the strikers in front of the midfielders. And he took up really good positions and received the ball. But his experience was helping move the rest of the team. So in the kind of game that he played, he was really good. But he came off second half, and we've not seen him since. So that is a worry. Yeah, I can see what you're saying. It was a bit of an odd one to sign another 37-year-old when we've got Dad's Army across the rest of the team. But you've got to, when you're at the bottom of the table and you're not scoring goals, Arfield makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping that Scott isn't available for selection on Wednesday, because you know what? You can just write the story. He gave us the fairy tale last January. You can just write the story of him coming off the bench and scoring against us, the winner against us. You know what it's like. So I really hope he's not available for Wednesday, but we'll find out. Is there any word on his injury, Stuart?
Well, I seen him on Saturday and he was just taking selfies with kids, nice and relaxed, walking to a seat to watch the game. It's hard to tell from that wee bit. I don't think any of the managements came out and said what's wrong with him or anything like that. So, it's hopefully it's a short-term thing. Hopefully they're not doing anything long-term. But we're missing a few of the oldies. Like Danny Wilson's not playing and we really, really need him. He's been good when he comes on, but he's just not been there, and Ryan McGowan's a shadow of himself too. So there's a few players that are kind of missing at the moment.
And Tete Yenge obviously scored an absolute cracker against us. Was that the start of the season? God Almighty, is that go no? It was
Oh,
last.
no, that was a championship.
That was the championships. So Tete Yenge's away now as well, which I think he's a. I like Tete Yenge. He's very hot and cold, I think, but
Oh,
yeah, he's away now as well.
it's more like one of those, more cold, wee bit hot, cold would be the ratio for today. But he did seem to play well against Falkirk,
He
but
did. He did. He always played well against us, and a big nuisance that he was. So, what are you thinking in terms of score this week, Stuart? Are you confident, or are you? Where are you going with?
Head says 2-0 Falkirk, heart says one each draw. That's as glum as it gets, and I'm an
God,
optimist. It's
yeah, I know
not
you are the
good.
optimist, potential optimist, Ross.
I agree with Stuart. I think 2-0 Falkirk on Wednesday night. What do you think?
I think knowing Livingston, I think it just gives me the fear. Livingston just gives me the fear every time. I'm going to go a draw, I think. I'm going to go a draw. I do think, because it just gives me the fear. Livingston just gives me the fear. I mean, we'll either go out and absolutely pump them, or it'll be a really scrappy game and it'll end up being a nil-nil. Because it's Wednesday night, I just don't know. It's Livingston. You can just, I mean, like I say, it just gives me the fear. So
We are due a result, though.
we are due one. We are due one. That's for sure. But aye, obviously the stadium the last time, the last minute goal. And I've been very positive the last couple of weeks in terms of predicting results. I thought we'd get a draw at Celtic today, but aye,
I
no.
thought you'd get a draw today because you've been playing really well.
I know. So aye, I'll take my medicine. I'll take a draw at Livingston. Hopefully for a win, but I think it might end up in a draw. But we'll wait and see. Stuart, listen, thanks so much for once again joining us. Would you like to play? I know you've already played this season and you did very well on how well do you know your team. You are actually on the leaderboard at the moment, second, joint second, with you and Cameron. And oh no, you're third actually, Stuart.
Which team did you go for, Rangers or Hearts?
He went for Hearts actually, surprisingly. But your third, because Chris Toll actually came on for the preview for Celtic and managed to get 7 points. Would you like to try and better your score, Stuart? You're on 6 points at the moment.
Absolutely. Did you have to write new questions this
Yes,
afternoon?
we've had to write new questions this time. So Ross has written the questions. I hope they're not from ChatGPT, Ross, because
No.
whenever I type it in ChatGPT, the questions are always wrong. So,
No, all
right.
good.
Right, okay, you've got 60 seconds on the clock, Stuart. Right, 10 questions on Livingston. Pass if you don't know. We'll come back to them if we've got time. Your time starts now. Who were Livingston's first ever shirt sponsors in 1995?
Russell Athletic.
Who wears shirt number 27 for Livingston?
Marvin Bartley.
Who is the Livingston assistant manager?
At this moment, I think it's Neil Hastings.
In 2014, who took over from John McGlynn as manager?
It would be Davy Hopkins. No, take it back. It was Mark Burchill.
And what season did Livy win the League Cup?
I know it's Gavin Pearson's wedding anniversary because he's always miserable around then. It was 2006.
Who do we hold the record attendance home, Rangers or Celtic?
Record attendance, very good. It will be Rangers.
Right, which Brazilian manager took over Livi in 2003?
Massimo.
Livi has scored more goals than Kelly, true or false?
Wolves.
That's your time up. Oh, there's two more questions to go as well.
What were the questions? Let's see if I get
who them. Are the current main shirt sponsor?
Oh, that's going to be the storage place.
Yeah, the Livy self-storage. And how many ex-Falkirk players are in the Livy squad?
Oh, that's a great question. Two?
One. There you go.
Arfield.
Only Arfield. There you go. Right, let's go through the what you also answered. The first ever shirt sponsors from Mitsubishi in 1995.
Yeah.
Danny Wilson's 27. Neil Hastings, you got. Mark Burchill, you got. It was 03-04 when you won the League Cup. Rangers was your record attendance with 10,112. Marcio Maximo was the correct answer. So you're on four, and it was a 50-50 ball at the end, and it's actually you've actually got more goals than Kilmarnock. Is that right, Ross? Yeah.
When I had written the questions, in fact, yeah, Kelly only scored three yesterday, so that is still true.
Yeah, that so there you go. So you've got one more goal than Kilmarnock. So you've not better just scored. But
Stephen Burchill, he was McGlynn's assistant manager, and he kept us up. So we've got history. And then Davey Martindale was obviously Gary Holt, whatever happened to him. His assistant manager, and he kept us up. So, you know, there is precedence for this.
There you go. There you go. Hopefully you don't get a start of that on Saturday. We got four there, Stuart. You got four.
Well, beaten by myself, I sound a bit like David Martindale, who sacked himself to promote himself.
Super. Well, Stuart, listen, enjoy Wednesday, but don't enjoy it too much.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Before we go, I've got to say thank you very much to the Falkirk football fans in training. T8s are down at the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. We've got the Elite Academy and Legends sections and the over 50 section as well. If you're over 50, which we're heading towards, Ross, we're on the downslide to 50 now, Jesus Christ. But yeah, that's every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. Don't do body pump classes. Get training with the Falkirk football fans in training, because you won't make any mistakes on weights by going to the Falkirk football fans in training, because you're just probably having a kick about with some great guys. So get in touch with the guys. The links are below. Ian, Willie or Dougie are your men. They'll sort you out. They'll get you down. They'll make you feel part of the team. They'll help your mental health, and you might pick up some new friends along the way and get an invite to hospitality. And the Kelpies Cup, Ian is definitely going to give me information on that. I don't know how far down the road they are with it, but that'll be coming to the Falkirk Stadium hopefully at the end of the season. So get in touch with the Falkirk football fans in training. The link is in the bio. Right, before we go, Ross, the big question is, what's your favourite Take That song? You've had now about an hour or so to think about it.
I have. I've got two, if I'm being honest. Right, so okay. I'll go old school first.
Right.
It has to be Back for Good.
Right.
Just like Falkirk in the Premiership now.
Right, that's, I guess, good. I like that. And what's your more
it's more one of the, it was, I don't know, it's not one of the newer ones, as in like this wee weird three-piece that they've got. But remember when they first came back? Is it Rule the World? Is that what I've got in my head?
Oh, Rule the World, yeah.
I like that. Gary Barrow special.
Brilliant. Do you know what I like? I have to say, I think Never Forget's an absolute banger. And you know what I think with Never Forget is that Gary Barlow's just went to Howard, said, Gary, can I have a song, please? And then Gary Barlow's like, you can have this shiter, Howard. And it's turned out to be one of the bigger songs. And they always encore with it. And there's Howard. He's actually the one that sings it. And like, oh my God, Gary must go, fucking bastard.
Raging.
Howard, all you're meant to do is dance in the background, Howard. And then the big man strolls up and, you know, just blasts it. There you go. Howard's not even on the band anymore, is it? Howard's still there, but Jason's not in it and Robbie's not in it. So it's just Mark, yeah. Gary and Howard now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't believe we're sitting having a discussion about Take That now. That's
Back for Good's the banger. There we go. Back for Good. Same as Falkirk, we're back for good.
In the comments below, leave your favourite Take That song there, because I did ask actually in the comments below last week. I said, give us your prediction for the Celtic score and who you think is going to win the Royal Rumble. I won't spoil it because a lot of people get really angsty if you spoil wrestling results, so I won't tell you who won the Royal Rumble. Needless to say, a few people got it right of who predicted who won the Royal Rumble. So there you go. Who did you have for the Rumble, Ross? Just out of interest, who do you think was going to win the Rumble?
Mate, I didn't even know what was happening.
You're going to say the Ultimate Warrior or something like that. That's what
I'll say mean. Hulk Hogan or something.
Nah, he's dead, mate. He's dead. Right, okay. That's it. And on that note, we will finish the podcast with favourite Take That songs and the fact that Hulk Hogan is dead. Right, brilliant. Thank you very much for watching, listening. It's on to Livingston now for a Wednesday night midweek card. Ross, are you heading along? I don't think I'm going to make it because of work, but...
Yep, yeah, I'm on the behind the wall bus, so ticket sales look very, very healthy. It looks a couple of thousand, I reckon, I'll be through from Falkirk, which is... phenomenal for a Wednesday.
And hope we get this monkey offer back. We'll wait and see. I'm really hopeful we do, and that my prediction of the draw is out the window. Fingers crossed. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just type in Falkirk Daft. You can keep up to date with all our content. You can get merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and get involved in the Discord channel. It's always very active, always good chat in there. There was a lot of chat during the game today because a lot of people didn't go to the game. So yeah, get involved with that. The link for the Discord, it's just basically an app which is, acts as a forum. It's a Falkirk Daft forum. Get involved in the chat in there. A lot of good people in there. And that is in the links below. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. And as we say, Ross, on the podcast...
Expect unexpected, buddy. I'm on the bounce.
We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft, for everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk kid. We're Falkirk Daft, we are Falkirk Daft.